The difficult task of warning church leaders. One of the very difficult tasks given to the prophet of God was to bear heaven's messages of reproof and correction to the leaders of God's people. It was so in times of old, and it was so in Ellen White's day. Church leaders were called of God or appointed by Him to their positions of trust and duty. They were for the most part unselfish individuals, Bible Christians, God-loving, dedicated, and hard-working, and oftentimes quite certain that they were performing their administrative duties well. The occasion for a testimony of reproof was usually not to point out some gross sin, as was the message God charged Nathan to give David, but rather to call attention to defects in character, faulty concepts, or poor administrative policies. It was in the field of the latter that Ellen White was at times called upon to bear messages of correction to those with whom she worked and whom she held in esteem. This was particularly so in 1907, in its closing months. The reading of many testimonies dealing with this period, published and unpublished, reveals the very fine line between wise and understanding administration and the assumption of dictatorial or kingly authority. The testimonies also reveal that this matter is to be understood by all persons carrying responsibilities, whether in an institution or a conference office, and particularly by presidents of all conferences, from the local to the general. As noted in the preceding chapter, the year 1907 was not much more than an hour old when a vision was given to Ellen White at Elmshaven concerning situations in medical institutions in Southern California and particularly at Paradise Valley Sanitarium. The nature of the problem is revealed in the testimony written to the matron, a woman of pronounced convictions, yes, the very woman who had unselfishly matched funds with Ellen White to finance the purchase of the property. Here are a few sentences written to her. I wish to say to you, my sister, do not make perplexities for yourself by trying to make everyone see as you see, and follow the plans you have devised. I have told you that you do not view everything in a correct light. Your ideas are not always pleasing to others. Your strong traits of character lead you to seek to mold and fashion others according to your ideas. I must speak plainly to you, my sister. Let others act upon their individual merit and intelligence. God expects them to do this under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. To every man and woman God has given a work, and He would have every mind so well balanced that the work can be done after the divine similitude. You, my sister, must not seek to put your mold upon other minds. You must not feel that your mind and judgment is to be the criterion for other minds. The Lord has given to each capability and tact, and if we will be guided by His wisdom, the minds of the workers will blend, and the work be carried on harmoniously. Your way is not the way that would be wisest to follow in every instance. It was not long until the president of the California Conference had to be reminded of these principles. 4 Ellen G. White messages were read at the conference session held at San Jose in late January, one of which, Individual Responsibility and Christian Unity, consisted of 21 pages of counsel on relationships of conference administrators to their workers and church members. In this she pointed out that there was danger of the executive, instead of acting as a wise counselor, assuming the prerogatives of an exacting ruler, special testimonies, Series B921. This was published at the request of the California Conference with the other E.G. White messages read at the session.